Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
L-O-V-E,
and life
in New York City. I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. And start your engines, because it was just announced that RuPaul's Drag Race is coming back for a 12th legendary season.
Yes.
When this airs, it'll probably have been a couple weeks since that announcement happened.
That's however, but the season probably won't have aired.
The season
yet.
Will not have aired yet. Yeah. So we need to talk all about it.
Do you know? Because we are huge Drag Race fans.
We love, and Dylan, our guest is nodding, and she also is. So yes. We'll definitely get into it.
There are so many New York queens on this season that we love
and have seen, which is like, I feel like an insider, but I'm not going to be like, yay, go Britta Filter, because I've literally seen her perform once. But I'm not going to pretend like I know her, but
I'm gonna be like,
it's cool.
I know. JanSport.
Right. It's like, not like last year when we were from Ohio, and so Nina West was our girl, and she was the first drag queen we ever saw, and that felt like a hometown, like, pride situation, whereas this is like, oh my gosh, we live in New York, and we've seen JanSport and Britta Filter, but we're not pals.
No.
Yet.
Not yet. Who knows?
The open invitation. Open invitation.
I want the whole drama.
You know they're listening.
No, I think the season's going to be good. I think it's going
to
be really good.
Yes, I will say, I do have one gripe, and I hate to be that person. There's not any trans queens, to my knowledge.
Why don't hate to be that person? It's just, it's a crime.
It is.
It's wrong.
And I also feel like they're lacking in queens of color.
I know. They are. They really are.
Come on, Rue.
I know.
I mean, and producers, but like,
I know. I love how people are always like, Rue didn't get this queen on. And I'm like, you think Rue is casting at this point?
I mean, I'm sure Rue definitely watches every single tape.
Okay. But shame on World of Wonder. We're dragging.
I know. But also World of Wonder, we love you.
This queer production company, which we support. I support.
Oh, yeah. We're on WoW Plus.
Queer adjacent art. And, you know, I think what they do is incredible. And obviously, drag, I think, has never been more mainstream. Rue is hosting SNL.
I know. Oh my God, I can't wait. And of course, we watched AJ and the Queen every episode, even though it was slow. But you know, it was very fun, and it was a great opportunity to see all our favorite queens.
It was weird.
Okay, I could actually talk about Drag Race the whole time, so I don't want to like fully take up the whole thing. But this is something we have yet to really cover on Drama.
I know.
Except for with Blaine, we talked about a little bit. But I am a Drag Race super fan.
You are, even more than I am.
I love every single queen, and I clock the reference all the time, and I cannot wait for this new season. And we might even be recapping episodes in a possible way.
Yes, in an exclusive way.
We'll see. We don't want to reveal too much.
Yeah, wait and see.
We'll see. But our guest today actually has a connection to a RuPaul queen.
That's right. I'm going to bring her.
And a legendary New York queen.
Yes, God. All right. I'm going to bring her in.
Bring her in.
So our guest today is a rising star who has solidified herself as one of the most in-demand divas of the theater world. After touring the country in American Idiot, she made her Broadway debut in Groundhog Day before originating the iconic role of Mopsa in the much-beloved, groundbreaking musical Head Over Heels. After belting her face off to the music of the Go-Go's on Broadway, she originated the role of Pat, a.k.a. Lady Macbeth, in Scotland, PA, at Roundabout. And fans across the country will also recognize her from The Tale of Despero at the Old Globe in San Diego, The Who's Tommy at the Kennedy Center in D.C., and so much more. Her gorgeous voice and fierce acting chops will also, and I'm shaking, be on full display in the highly anticipated musical adaptation of The Devil Wears Prada opposite Beth Level, which I can't even believe it. Okay, anyway, please welcome to Drama,
Taylor Iman Jones.
Hi!
Taylor, Thank you, Miss Taylor. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow, I love that write-up. That was amazing.
Oh, yes. You've done so many great things in such a short amount of time.
I've tried to stay busy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read that you booked Groundhog Day like 2 months after moving to New York.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Wild.
Which doesn't happen.
No, it totally does not happen. I got very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They were... So, you know, it came from the UK over to here. So all the tracks were solidified, like every character or whatever. And then the show had already been cast in America as well.
Right.
But they needed one more person to like be in the ensemble and cover the leads. And so they were holding auditions for that. I went through a few rounds and then got told, thank you, no thank you. We would like a better dancer. We want someone to be a stronger dancer. And I was like, interesting. Fine. I just got here. Like, I'm not going to worry about that. And then a week later, I got another phone call that was like, just kidding. You're in. And so
now,
I was like,
did
okay.
Did you ever go on for Nancy?
I did not ever go on for Nancy, really? But I did go on for Rita a handful of times.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Cool. We saw Groundhog Day in its final month on Broadway. And I wish I could have seen it again, because I feel like it's one of those things where you're seeing brilliance and then you need to see it again to like catch things that you might have noticed the first or second time. Connor has the rule of repeat viewing.
I have this idea that, and this is a privileged concept, that I think musicals, or I think maybe any form of art, should be consumed twice if you can do it. See it once and you're just like going in cold, enjoying it, loving it, maybe hating it, whatever. But then seeing it a second time is rewarding, because you're noticing perhaps the intricacies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you're paying special attention to performances that you didn't notice the first time. You can watch the ensemble. You can, you know,
yeah.
I think like if you're able to see something twice, it's great. Which also we did with Head Over Heels. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh my God, we'll talk
Groundhog
about it.
Day was so good.
It's love. Like it's so lovely, that show, and we always just figured. It was almost too ambitious because it had the 5 turntables and snow and a tap number. Like it just had so many things, but it was amazing, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything else. The cast is such a family still.
Oh, I love that.
Andy Carl in that show was a masterclass in acting and theater, and also how to be a lead for us. He was so warm and welcoming. His dressing room was on the very bottom floor closest to the stage, and ours was on the 5th floor, up, and he would make sure every weekend to come up with his speaker blasting music and like making sure he danced with us. So, and you know, he seriously injured himself in that show.
Oh, yes.
And even the day he injured himself, he finished the show with a cane. Like, it's
I forgot that there was a
cane
involved.
Like, literally, it's just the best thing I ever could have been witness to, and am looking forward to carrying that legacy in my future for sure. Yeah.
I feel like it would have been an exhausting show. I mean, doing a show 8 times a week in general is tough.
And now do it on a treadmill.
On a treadmill.
Like,
also,
literally.
Also, you're repeating scenes so many times.
Oh my gosh. If you ever really get the chance to look at the sheet music, but even if you just listen to the soundtrack, I dare you to count along and like find the rhythms.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I remember the first week, so they're like, okay, so on the 23rd count, on the 13th measure. And we were like, wait, what?
Is that Tim Minchin? Is that
no? That would be Ellen Page, who was our associate choreographer.
Okay. Not to be confused with Ellen Page, the actress.
Oh right, no, that's her name. Yeah, I was like, did I do that wrong? But like, literally, we would in the beginning, we were like 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, all the way until like 26, 27, 2, 3, like until it was in our bones. But there are so many time changes and signatures because it's repeating, and then the numbers do repeat. In different ways. So we would learn choreography and then learn the same bit, but now it's not only jazzy, but there's that third count isn't there, and that step is now at the end instead of the beginning. Like, it was,
oh my God,
so wild. It was really, it was so hard, but so rewarding.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. And then the 5 turntables.
Yeah, the turntables. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the story around the show became like Andy's injury and like the turntable issues at the beginning and everything. And it was one of the most competitive seasons. Like, I would say this past year and that 2017 season were the busiest seasons. It was Dear Evan Hansen, Come From Away, Great Comet, Groundhog Day.
Wow, it was stacked.
It was
Bandstand.
Huge.
Like, everything was going on at once. And I thought that Andy and Ben Platt were going to tie for a Tony. Like, I thought that we were going to see that.
That would have been comic.
You know, Ben Platt had a year. Like, that was totally his year. And, I mean, Andy won the Olivier in the UK. And so, I mean, like, I'd always be like, if Ben Platt wasn't there, Andy probably would have got it. But, you know, who knows? And
it's,
I'm sure,
so
Andy
political.
Will have many more chances to get a Tony.
We love Andy. You know? We love Orfeh. Like, they're just incredible.
Oh, my God.
People.
And they're just touring the country.
Oh, my God.
I gotta go see them. Their little duet show.
Yes. We'll talk after.
Okay, wait. Taylor, I'm wondering something else.
Yeah.
Are you well?
Yeah. You know, it's like real tea, I guess. You know, theater is a very strange, or any artistic endeavor you take on is going to be strange and have its ups and downs. So, like, for example, Prada, very exciting, super exciting. I got the offer in September. And at that point, you know, we are going to go to Chicago this summer and go to Broadway, hopefully, this fall. And then when I got the call, they were like, you got it. Plot twist, we're going to push it back a year.
That's insane.
So now we're in Chicago next summer and next fall, which is still very exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
But that put me in a weird position of what do I do now until
and
then?
Can you? Like, are you on hold?
Like, both of those things, okay. Yes and no, Lo. So, like, they want to do, you know, a handful of workshops while okay. I'm here. And so it limits what I can do. So I okay. can't take out-of-town contracts really okay. that are too long. I can't take touring contracts that are leaving. So I always, like, I think this is the part of the process that they don't teach you. I didn't go to school, but I don't think they teach you it in
okay,
school.
Yeah, no,
or I know I
hear,
definitely
yeah.
didn't hear about it just in my up and comings. It's, you mm-hmm. know, you get the gig and it's very exciting, but you don't think about, well, what do I do in the meantime?
Right.
And so that's been a really interesting thing to figure out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm still figuring that out now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, to answer yeah. that question.
I appreciate your candor with the whole situation because I know everyone's, like, excited about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but yeah, like, the excitement is sort of delayed because it's so, like, 2021, like, we'll have a new president by then.
I mean, seriously,
you know? Like,
yeah.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the thing. Everyone's like, congratulations. And I'm like, thank you, you know, because it's very strange. I'm also like, thank you, but if you have any gigs, let me know.
right.
For things. But yeah, so yes, and weirdly not no but
okay.
you know somewhere
yeah,
in that
absolutely
yeah
have you been involved with Devil Wears Prada at all up to
no.
now? This is it.
Oh my god,
have you heard any of the music?
No, I mean just my audition.
Okay, cool.
Gig.
Oh,
you know,
it's Shayna Taub
and Elton John.
I can't believe, like, is this his Broadway since Billy Elliot? Is this the first time we've seen him on Broadway?
Oh yeah,
I forget that he did
Billy Elliot. Wow,
Lion King
and Aida. Oh, that's wow. always my like.
I know, it's so great.
Yeah,
some of the best.
All right, we need an Aida in concert right now.
Yes, please.
Like, that's what it is. We had Aisha Jackson on, and she was talking about she did it in high school, and now I'm envisioning all these actresses who
Whoa.
Could do like the different songs.
I would love to hear Aisha Jackson sing anything from that show.
But I need to hear you do it too, because you do have like a very pop rock voice, but it's also, you can sing legit as well.
Yeah.
I
you know, I grew up in the Bay, and which is like the most diverse place in the country. Like, yes, New York too, but I think the Bay somehow even more because we're so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I think because of that, I got the opportunity to play a lot of roles that I wouldn't normally have played.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them being Mary Poppins. I got to be Mary Poppins once at Berklee Playhouse. Yeah.
Anything can happen if you let it.
If you let it. Like, what a beautiful
yes,
show.
Oh my God.
But I always like to think growing up with Wicked, because there's Indina and then there's Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you fake your way into both.
Yes.
And I can, like, what I think in my mind is a faking a really good legit.
Okay.
But as my roommate would be like, no, that is just legit. Like, you're just doing it. But anyway, yeah, I am, my goal, I guess, for like my Broadway career is to become like a Jessie Mueller, where she can kind of do anything.
Oh, yes, chameleon.
It's wild. Mm-hmm. And every time you see her, you're like, how do you do that? And so I would really love to find my way into that.
That's an excellent
life.
Cool. Wait, what part of the Bay Area? Because one of our best friends is from Foster City.
Oh, okay. That's south of me, I believe.
Okay.
I'm like NorCal. So
okay.
I'm from a little town called Fairfield.
Oh, very
it's
nice.
Directly between Sacramento and San Francisco.
Okay, cool.
But
cool.
I worked a lot in San Francisco and East Bay and some in South Bay. I commuted a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what is it? What is like the big like regional theater in that area?
There's a ton.
Okay.
I mean, the Berklee Rep, you know, does
oh,
a lot. That
okay.
a lot begins there and comes out here.
Is that what you did Tale of Despero?
It's not. So,
okay.
But because I had to do Scotland, PA.
Okay.
And so,
oh.
yeah, I did the Tale of Despero at the Old Globe. When they got their offer that they were moving to Berklee Rep, I had already got my offer for Scotland, PA.
Gotcha.
And
that,
I had been doing
Pen?
Workshops. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and they're the best.
One of my favorite Soul Cycle instructors, Jimmy, works with them. Jimmy, shout out if if you're listening, but hey. He told me about Pigpen because he played some music at the end of class, like a soul class about it. And I was like, what is this? He's like, they're actually like theater writers.
Yeah,
like,
no, they're a band and they write theater and they write music for theater.
They're like, verse.
They're, yes. And I will say, you know, they are seven cis straight men.
Okay.
And it was one of the most welcoming and inviting environments I've ever been in. They are very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And for Tale of Despero, it's the first time they ever invited other actors to be a part of their productions. Usually they do everything. So they play the instruments, they play all the roles, and they usually play multiple roles. And they do very tight, fun theater. And so when they invited us in, they gave us complete collaborative, not control, but a place to be collaborative with them in an equal stake.
That's
crazy. Yeah. And they're just the nicest humans. And
you always love to hear that.
Create beautiful work. Yeah. Wow. That's
now weird. I feel like it was Tale of Despero, a book.
Yeah.
I think I read it.
Was a mouse probably, involved?
Yes. Yeah. So it's, I also like, I didn't read it as a kid. Like I read it once I got the show, but yeah, there's like a mouse, a princess, a evil who you find out maybe not, might be so evil rat and a maid who also, you know, and you hear all their four stories in the book separately, like they each have their own chapters.
Okay.
And so the challenge for Pigpen writing was how do you make a linear story out of that? Mm-hmm. And so they found a way to do that and it's unbelievable. So I did it at the Old Globe, but then I went home for a week and I got to watch it at Berkeley Rep and I wept the entire time. It was so good. They made all these minor changes that just helped the show blossom to a new height. It was so tight. Like it was one of the quickest shows I've ever seen, like just almost like old school Shakespeare.
Oh wow.
Oh my god, it was incredible. I hope it has more future to come.
I felt old school Shakespeare vibes in a way when seeing Head Over Heels.
Oh yeah.
Now in that, Out of Town was in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
So you were like home.
I was.
Yeah, that's really cool.
At the Curran, which is like brand new open. Yeah. Wicked started there.
That's right.
And so it was crazy because that's the only way I saw theater growing up. Like we didn't make trips to New York until I was in my teens. Okay. But my mom, I don't even know where she got a theater bug, but she made sure to take me to every single show that toured through San Francisco.
Aww.
And the Curran used to be a part of SHN and they were like a whole trio, like everything, but now I think it's its own little separate entity.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I've been performing in the Bay my whole life and I've done shows here, but with Head Over Heels in San Francisco from first preview to closing night, I knew someone in the audience every single performance.
That's so special.
It rocked my world.
Talk about a hometown crowd. Like,
whoa. And like, because it was such a big deal, I think, you know, like, not to say not a lot of people make it from the Bay, but it's a far journey, you know?
Goodness.
And so I got to see people who I did shows with 7 years ago up until like the most recent year. Like watching my whole theater career, like before my eyes with every person who saw the show. It was bananas.
And now when you guys were doing it in San Francisco, did you know at that point you were going to Broadway?
Yes.
Okay. So you, not only that, you're originating a role in an original musical. Like that is like insane.
Which not everyone can, that's not easy to get. Not everyone has.
No.
That's really amazing.
It is. I feel very fortunate, especially coming from the Bay where I really learned my craft just doing whatever regional plays were out there. So you do, you know, whatever's in the canon coming down. So I figured I'd move to New York and just like be in Wicked forever. Like, you know, just do the shows I knew. And here I am 3 years later where I've almost done exclusively new work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is a huge surprise to me. But also showed me that, and I think this goes for anybody out there, that your biggest strength is yourself. Mm. I realize the reason I get new work is because there is nothing else to base it off of. And so all you can do is like make a choice and hope they like it. And I've learned to do that.
And find
you know, confidence in myself that like I Taylor am enough for whatever is going to come my way. And also like, my strength is to bring myself into whatever that is.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That is unbelievable advice.
Is this the truth?
Yeah.
You can take that with you, you know, in the entertainment industry, but also going into job interviews, you're going on dates, doing all of it. Like you just have to be yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's you. That's what people are going to be drawn to.
Yes. And I think, especially the auditions, but even when you're performing, you're always looking for like the right way to do something, mm-hmm. you know, that one right way. And I've come to realize that there isn't one right way. There are many ways. You know, we brush our teeth every day. You don't do it the exact same way every day. And then you don't finish and you're like, oh, that was not how that was supposed to be. Like, right. You know, it's slightly different and it's different for all of us, but we're all brushing our teeth. And that's how I feel about auditions. Like even for shows that are in the canon, like Tommy or something, like
yeah.
I've stopped trying to figure out what I think they want or go in the room being like, I hope this is what they're looking for. And it's like, no, this is my version of this character. Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell my friends, before you go in, ask yourself, do you think you're capable of this? And if the answer is yes, then that's the end.
Mm. Wow.
Because wig. Like, you know, you're going to do it. Yeah. And like, I know I will be good. You don't have to take it, but I know I can.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happens, like that's what you can take away. You
that's
know?
Amazing.
That's
I was given that advice when I was interviewing for jobs in the last year, somebody, you know, I was interviewing and doing all these things and whatever. And somebody said to me, my cousin Jack, actually, shout out. He was like, before you go into this interview for this job, you know, you want, picture yourself in the job, manifest this life for yourself. Think about what it would be like, how excited you would be to get up in the morning, go to this job, work with these people, work on this. And I did it and I got it. You know what I mean? It's just, you have to believe in yourself and you have to manifest that the right thing will come at the right time, I think.
Yeah. Know? And another thing I like to tell kids, especially, is the no's don't pile up. They're, you know, they're the doors in the hallway that you're passing by, mm-hmm. but they don't make you worse with every no you get, yeah, because yeah. they have nothing to do with you, really. You know, we've all heard stories of like, oh, I didn't get it because I'm too tall, or I didn't get it because I'm too short, or I look too much like that girl. Like, you never know. They might right. love you, but just you're not right for them in that moment,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, just the door's in the hallway. Let them pass you by.
I love that, too. Yeah. I would love to get a little bit more insight into your beginnings with a question that we ask all of our guests.
Yeah.
So this is called the Ring of Keys moment. Mm. So we like to ask everyone about the impetus that got them into the arts in the first place. The Ring of Keys moment, when young Allison in Funhome sees someone, identifies as that is that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to apply that to the arts. Yeah. What is that aha moment for you? You mentioned growing up in the Bay.
Yeah. So I guess I always had a musical ear. I'd go to my grandma's house and just like plunk on the piano. And then my parents realized like, oh, you're actually playing things that you hear. So they got me piano lessons. So I grew up like when I was six. So I had piano lessons all through high school. And so I always loved music. I loved to sing. I was on the dance team in middle school. And then so one of my girlfriends on the dancing was like, hey, do you want to come do the musical in the city? And I didn't know that was a thing. I was like, singing and dancing at the same time, great.
Yeah.
So I did a show at Solano Community Theater, and it was Solano Youth Theater then, which I don't think exists anymore, but they did a show called Bugsy Malone Jr.
Oh.
Which is like this weird gangster mob musical, but they like throw pies at each other instead of like bullets. It's really fun. Anyway, I got this role named Fizzy, who was the janitor, but got their own song. Got their own solo song. Like the whole stage clears. It was literally like me and my broom in a spotlight. And I just like, I have a terrible memory, but I remember this moment so vividly. It was just like, starting the song and like looking out in the audience and the spotlight on me by myself. And I've literally never stopped performing since.
Oh,
and
that's powerful.
Yeah. They would do two musicals a year, 'cause it was like a semester and you got like college credit. I just never ever stopped.
And then you eventually make it to Broadway.
Yeah.
And you're singing Vacation by the Go-Go's kind of by yourself. I mean, there's fish, mermaids and dolphins or whatever.
Absolutely. Couldn't have done it without them. Honestly, that whole album is really great, but the background vocals the Head Over Heels album are so fierce.
So good.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Head Over Heels.
I know.
Because we mentioned a little bit earlier.
We went to see it in previews.
In previews.
And we actually iconically were there. We didn't know this was happening. The Go-Go's performed a curtain call.
Yes.
We were like, how lucky are we?
Gagged.
Same.
Like, yeah.
Same.
We were just dancing in the audience.
Yeah. That was one of the craziest moments. I remember there were like a few moments in Head Over Heels that had very grounding feelings to them. And the first one was when, like, we all, you know, knew we were in the show, and then they had a like a Go-Go's concert to announce the show. That was a, like, I think they this. The day they announced the theater and announced the cast, and we all went to the Bowery Electric, I want to say, and they played. I remember thinking then, like, because we knew what we'd be singing, like watching them play Vacation and being like, I'm going to sing that on Broadway one day. And then fast forward to now we're open, now we're in now we're in previews, and we finish the show, and then the Go-Go's come out and they play on the stage that we are singing their music.
It was legendary.
And they were so nice, and it was very weirdly full circle, and just I knew, like, no matter what happens, like, this is a moment in our history and their history and musical theater history, and we were already breaking so many boundaries in Head Over Heels. That, like, I can't, like, I'm so happy you guys were there, because it was
Jimmy, aka Poot, and we loved every second of it. And
I know. I think I didn't realize how inclusive and groundbreaking Head Over Heels would be. And I was also, I didn't realize how many songs I would know going into it as well, that I guess were just, you know, in the zeitgeist growing up of, I would hear these songs on the radio and then just the performances were great. The opening number,
the opening number,
I think two of the, I mean, I think it was a really strong production in general, but I think the direction and the choreography were both top notch.
And the book. The book was so smart.
So smart.
And for a second I was like, oh, they're doing this. And then you get so used to it within the first 5 minutes. Like it's hysterical. It makes you think, and you have to pay attention to the jokes. And it was so good. I mean, we loved it. And
thank you.
Everyone last year talked about the tragedy that it just didn't continue. I mean, opening in the summer is hard, but then
it is hard, and we and we opened right after the Tonys. Like, we were the first show to open that season, and so I mean, people, that's not something you really think about coming to New York either, but if you open right after the Tonys, that means you got to stay open up until the next Tonys, really, which is, you know, a year is really kind of a successful show on Broadway if you last a whole year. So anyway, we're so happy to have been in that show and to be a part of that legacy. We all got so many letters from teenagers and even adults being like, I've never seen myself on stage. And the one thing that we loved the most about Head Over Heels is that it was a celebratory space for everybody. Like, yes, stakes were high, but anytime a character came out, as we'd say, and at the end, like, all of us came out at the end, there wasn't any question or any fight. It was just like, oh, great. Oh, cool. Love. Love is love. And that doesn't really exist right now, and or it's hard to find those places. We've had, I got a lot of letters that were like, I brought my mom to this, and she turned to me and was like, oh, I get it. Like,
oh my God.
Like,
oh,
yeah, it was really a lot of that. And so I am so sad that it was short-lived, also because the performances were out of this
every single person,
Bonnie, Rachel, Jeremy, Alexander Sosha, oh my God, Andrew Duran, like, it was in the choreography. Spencer Liff got snubbed at the Tonys.
I was like, if anything, they'll get nominated for choreography.
Me too. But I will say, the smart thing they did was release the rights pretty quickly. So it's being done all over
the country.
I know
it happened in Charleston.
It happened in the Bay.
There was tongue pops galore in the show.
Peppermint was in it. Oh.
All the Rue girls came to see it. When we saw it that night with when the Go-Go's were there, I think LaGanja Estrancha was there
in
the audience. It was just such a great time. The second time we saw it, Amanda Lepore.
Oh my God, yes, I met her. Oh my God. I took all the pictures. No, that was the other good thing about opening the summer, actually, was DragCon was happening at the same time. And so since all the queens were here, of course they all came and saw Peppermint. I have so many pictures. Like, I don't really fangirl. I think especially I feel weird meeting celebrities after shows, because sometimes it feels almost more like a press of, you know, it's just like, take the picture, and they don't really have a lot of time, and I feel weird about being like, hi. But I did realize that I will freak out over a RuPaul drag queen.
Now who is your favorite? Peppermint aside, because we know you're friends with Peppermint.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, Bob gagged me. Alyssa. Yes. Oh, my God. And Alyssa was in full geesh when she came.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, mother.
Honestly, it's a hard question to ask, because a lot of them came in groups as well.
Okay.
And so it was just like,
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, freaking out. I all me and my roommate are literally rewatching all of RuPaul's Drag Race right now.
Which season are you on?
All of them. Oh, we're on five right now.
Four, five, and six are my favorite.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's like this like golden era, and Latrice Royale is my favorite.
Oh, Latrice. Yes.
Large and in charge, chunky yet funky.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Eat it.
Yeah. Season five, I mean, you have Alaska. You have Alyssa.
Detox.
Yes. Jinx. It's
Roxy.
Oh,
yeah.
She's here to make it clear.
Yes.
Iconic season.
Yeah.
We weirdly watched season seven first, then watched five, then watched six, then watched All Stars 2. We went in the weirdest order.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. And I want to rewatch it all as well.
Rewatch it all. You know, most of it's on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, for Christmas, Connor got me a DVD of season four, which includes all of Untucked as well.
Yes.
So it's like, fierce. It's nice. You know, DVDs may be going out of style, but at least you'll have it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Forever.
Yeah.
That's true. So we are kind of starting to wrap up, which is so sad because
I'm so sad. So many. I'll have to come back.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Please. Anytime. Oh, my God. We would love that. We
need to
talk about Drag Race.
Yes.
Everything. We need to ask about Scotland, PA.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a huge Macbeth fan in general. Yeah. And when we were in high school, our English teacher, Mr. Buggy again, had us watch the film.
Yeah.
So we were familiar with that to begin with. And which I think is a really clever movie.
Oh, my God. It's genius.
So good.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And the way that... your character, in the actress
Maura Tierney
in the movie, was always our favorite. And then when we heard you were doing it, we were like, oh, yes, this is brilliant.
And all the vocals.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, especially your big number at the end, which is no spoiler. Anyone who knows the story of Macbeth,
right?
Lady Macbeth, you know.
Out damn spot.
But for this, it takes place in and around a fast food joint.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
A burger joint.
Max.
Yes. Yeah.
And instead of, you know, having like a spot of blood that she just feels like she can't get out, she has a burn.
A burn from the fryolator.
It was so clever the way that it was done.
It was really fun.
Ryan McCartan is a genius as well. We love him.
You know who is so funny? Oh my God, Jay Armstrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable.
Jay is incredible.
We love
And like
Jay.
You saw him. He was playing like the ultimate like stoner, like everything was down here and just like funny. And while we were in rehearsals, he was playing Raoul in Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, right.
And so, like, I don't know how he did that.
Talk about versatile.
But that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Like, and now he's in Darling Grenadine.
Yeah, he's like
there.
A Jesse Mueller as well.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. He can do anything.
And then, like, also produced his Halloween show where he played Winifred in full drag.
And
did you
do something in the Halloween show?
Yes, yes. Me and Ryan sang together.
Oh, I love that.
It's just, like, he is someone that I... I'm so happy to have gotten to know and be able to call one of my close friends now.
That's
and
beautiful.
I remember one day we were like, maybe had some drinks, but like we were like, I was like talking to him. I was like, I think you're my mentor. Like,
I love those moments.
Yeah, I love
literally
him.
Me and in college.
Endlessly surprised and inspired by him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I almost bought his mattress last fall.
Oh yes.
Almost. It wasn't meant to be. But we love Jay so much. He's one of the first like actors that we were like fans of, but we became friends with.
Yeah.
And still is, we've yet to get him on Drama, but we will.
Yeah.
And it is just so cool to be able to continue to see him evolve and grow and change. Yes.
And he can dance the house down. Like, oh my God.
And we're going to continue to see you grow. And I mean, whatever this next year has in store, but like, Devil Wears Prada, like, you know, wait, really quick. Are you a huge fan of the movie?
Yeah. I mean, like, who isn't, you know? It's definitely not anything I ever would have guessed in a million years that I would have been a part of, especially across Beth level. Like, are you kidding? I saw her in Drowsy Chaperone here in New York on Broadway, like, before I really knew who she was. But I remember obsessing over it afterwards and listening to the soundtrack again and again. I was here on a theater trip and... remember she came and did a talk back and gave us all signature, like she signed, had autographs, and it was on my wall for years. And really before I knew who she was, and now I see it's this weird manifest destiny that has like brought me here. And I cannot wait. I've only heard the most incredible loving things about her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, the two of you are going to just take on the town. It's going to be amazing.
God. I'm going to bother her with how many questions I have.
She is so nice and so amazing.
Yes.
Do we know who the rest of the cast is yet?
They haven't announced.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so and I honestly don't really know.
Cool,
yeah.
Cool. Oh, my God.
It's great.
Oh, can't wait. I mean, it's so far away now. So
no.
Who knows what will happen. But, okay, so we do like to end with a quick dose of drama.
Yes.
And this is something that we do just to kind of wrap everything together. It's not salacious. It's just like... what's fun, what's going on. I will go first.
Yes. As you usually do, Dylan.
I know. Well, actually, I will say that it could be like a vivid dream about an unresolved relationship, a casting rumor that you're mulling over, a date that has you going, goo goo gaga, ooh, baby.
Oh.
Are you feeling dramatic today? I am not, but I will say that something that all of the listeners need to do is they need to go on thecollectivenewsletter.com and subscribe. It is like a weekly political news wrap-up that
unbiased
my mentor Matt Deptola, we love Matt, big supporter of drama, and many of our other friends including Jimmy and Jake Bradley are all working on. And it's like a an unbiased way to look at the news each week. Every Monday they do an impeachment recap, every Friday they do the top stories, because I have trouble keeping up with everything on Twitter, like what is important, what does it mean to me, 24-hour news cycle, blah blah blah. This is the way you keep it all intact. We live in a dramatic time. Everyone should subscribe.
I know. And it's great because it also gives you like a traditionally like liberal article as well as the way it was covered by like a traditionally conservative news source. So it's really nice. It's great.
Really great.
Yeah. That's mine.
Connor, do you have a dose?
A dose of drama. Wait, I kind of do. Cause I was thinking about like what I was doing like a year ago now. And I remember it was a dramatic story at the time, but I'm like thinking about it now. Okay. So like I went on a date with somebody that I was like, I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. He's great. Like we had a great, like I remember our date was like 4 hours long. Like it was so fun. Like one of those like
at Hold Fast.
Oh, at Hold Fast. Yeah. House Catch. And then we were like, all right, like we're gonna meet up again. So I think it was like the next weekend. I was so excited. I was nervous. I was like, oh my God, we were gonna meet out, like out at the bar. I was out going out for like drinks for a friend's birthday. And I don't know what he was doing. He still remains a mystery. Who still follows me on Instagram in a psychotic way. But I was like so excited. I went to the club and he had brought another guy there that he was like trying to date as well. And
what a mess.
I sort of chose to like have a sense of humor about it and like still go up to him and be like, oh my God, like this is so fun, whatever. And the reason I'm also thinking about this is it's been like about a year since this happened. And that night he was like, yeah, like, I think we're like, you're amazing, but like, it's not going to happen. And I was like, okay. I mean, it was drama, but, I thought it was so funny. Like, what are the odds? The friend that he brought followed me on Instagram.
Oh my God.
Like what? And I just think, I'm like, being gay in New York City is so bizarre. I'm like, what made him think of me? Because I don't think of him. But so funny. And I just have to say, like, I think dating can be dramatic, but I think we also have to have a sense of humor about like the the things that go wrong, or we have to be thankful for the things that go wrong, because oh my God, hysterical. Anyway, that's my dose of drama.
Yeah.
What is that guy doing following me? Anyway.
Ms. Mopsa, aka Taylor Mopsa.
Yeah.
I know I had to say it. Do you have a dose of anything going on? Right,
I think so, yeah. You know, with this 2020, everybody's like, what's your energy, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last year I wanted to find more confidence in myself, but in a way that I could like use it. You know, I think I was like, I want to have more confidence in my auditions and more confidence on stage and more confidence with the people I date. But I think it was like almost a facade for them. And then when things wouldn't work out, I'd be like, but I'm confident.
Mm-hmm.
Where this year I want to establish confidence in my soul and for me and for nothing else, and not have it be a tool, but actually just be a part of who I am. Like, I am confident because I am talented. I am beautiful. I am cool. Like,
yes.
You
yes.
know, and like to believe that and not just be telling myself that for fake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying to do and bring in the drama. It's for me and I'm awesome and I am confident because
you
I am.
You absolutely are.
I love that.
And I think that everyone can learn from that too, because, you know, there's so many messages that come at us every day that like try and tell us otherwise.
Yeah.
Or like you follow people on Instagram and you're like, that life, I want that. But in reality, like your life is kick ass. And
yeah. And even when it's not, it still is,
exactly.
You know, or
yeah.
I still mm-hmm. am. And it doesn't matter if that boy doesn't like me or whatever, or if they pretended to,
right.
But yeah. It's for me, and whatever does and doesn't work out isn't a reflection of my whole being. It's mm-hmm. just something that happened today.
Mm. Taylor, you are so inspiring. You're so kind.
I know. You have like the warmest energy about you.
Oh, thank you
for doing this and coming on drama. We are so thankful. And we cannot wait to see what this year has in store and beyond.
Thank you.
Where can people follow you?
Taylor Iman Jones, pretty much on everything. Instagram, Twitter. No, that's pretty much all I have.
I know, it's like Facebook. We don't even have
Facebook.
Not on
TikTok?
Not on TikTok. It's too many things. It's like, too many things. Like, I just started tweeting like last year. Just too many things.
Yeah.
I love Instagram though. So.
Yes. Like, oh my God. And you post amazing photos too. Yes, with always great captions. And you can follow us at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me at Connor McDowell.
And me at Dylan McDowell. And Connor,
yes, Dylan.
We'll see you next time.
Drama.